Welcome to the Soul Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is our second week. So yeah. we're just getting into it, right? Book of Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And the word Deuteronomy means second law, right? And we see it is the second time the law was given to the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And the first time it was given after Exodus, when they came out of Egypt, God gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to the people. People didn't listen. Now we're doing it again.
Yeah. Deuteronomy is also interesting because this is the last thing that we hear from Moses.
Right.
So he gives this to them, to the nation, and then he dies. And so there's, right. In addition to the law, there's some really personal stuff that we're going to find that Moses is trying to get
them. And we definitely see that, right? You give somebody, God gives this to you. You give it to the people, and they don't listen. And now 40 years later, he's given it to the next generation. And he is, like you said, very emphatic. And guys, you got to get it right this time.
Yeah. I don't have another generation that I can.
I don't have as much time left. So for chapters one through three, we basically saw a recap of Exodus and Numbers, explaining what Israel's been doing for the past 40 years.
Yeah.
So we haven't. I mean, we're in Deuteronomy, but we actually haven't gotten into
done
the law
Deuteronomy
part.
Yet.
Yeah. The law part yet. So we get to chapter four. And Moses summarizes the first three chapters.
It's just nested at this point. Next three chapters are summarizing.
He does start talking about God, and it's good. And it's kind of cool, his logic. Guys, our God is better than those other gods. And in fact, his rules make way more sense. So he's kind of like getting into the law, or talking around the law.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically says, you Israelites, you need to pay attention to this, and you need to follow his rules. And then he also notes that most of the people didn't see the miracles that God did to get them out of Egypt.
Yeah.
But they have seen God battle and pick up the fight for them. So they have seen major miracles from God.
Yeah, they have. There's the battles on the other side of the Jordan River with Og and Sihon, right. And some of those, they saw the manna in the wilderness, for 40 years as they were, some of them were born during that time and growing up. Their shoes didn't wear out, their clothing didn't wear out. They had the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
They had all of that stuff.
Okay, you're a baby, your clothes don't wear out, blah, blah, blah. Now all of a sudden they do.
Yeah.
What? That's normal? I thought not wearing out was normal.
Yeah. Yeah. The manna is going to go away. You said, some of them were born in the desert or in the wilderness, in the wandering, right? They never saw the Red Sea. They never saw Mount Sinai. They didn't see any of the Egyptian plagues and everything. Right. This is all just history and story to them.
Right. But you got to believe, because Moses has said, write these down, talk about them, that their parents have talked about it, that even though they may not know all of the law, some of it has been given to them throughout their lives.
They've heard, but that's the thing, is that they've heard about it, but they hadn't experienced it.
Right.
And that's one of the things that Moses is really trying to get across here, is listen, you guys know these stories. It's like, it's funny for me to think about it, because I've heard these stories, from Sunday school and everything. They were hearing the same stories that I heard. It was a little closer, but for them it was still just, grandpa, dad, whatever.
Yeah.
But they didn't see it.
Yeah, right. So Moses is going to slowly roll out some of the rules in these three chapters this week. And first he talks about not making idols of God. And then he brought up a really interesting point, at least to me. Even though Israel saw God in the clouds, they didn't see God.
Yeah.
Right? So if they did make an idol, they really had no idea what God even looked like.
Right.
And that was intentional from God, because he knew they would make idols.
They'll make an idol
to look like him.
Which is why all of the idols in every civilization and everything everywhere, every statue of a god mimics humans or animals or, I mean, something,
right, something that we know about, right?
Right. You know, it doesn't go beyond what we right. know and experience.
Right. And we know our God is jealous. And again, this is from Moses. And this helps the Israelites when they're at war, because God is going to be jealous for his people.
Yeah.
But it also hurts Israel when they don't follow God.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good time to point out, because we'll see jealousy again, the difference between jealousy and envy. Right. Mm-hmm. So envy is always considered sin, always throughout the Bible. Envy is when we strongly desire something that we really don't have any right to. Right. If I'm envious of you or your job or your whatever, right? It's like, that's not mine. It's yours. I have no right to it.
Right.
Jealousy is actually desiring something that I have every right to. Right. So right. God says, you are my people, you are my nation, you are my whatever. And when you go away, I'm jealous of right. the fact that you go away. Right. So jealousy is actually a good thing. And we use those terms interchangeably sometimes. They're really not. They're really not. So when we see God as a jealous God throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, it's actually good.
Yeah.
Because he wants what is rightfully his. Right. He wants that.
Right. And he knows he deserves it.
Yeah.
Moses also does the best to make the Israelites' ego smaller. basically, he says, look, God picked Abraham and Israel. You guys just came along for the results.
Yeah.
I didn't pick you.
Yeah, God did not choose Israel, actually, right? Yeah. Chose God. Yeah. Chose Abraham. Like,
that's a little harsh.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Moses ends this chapter listing three refuge cities. These are places that people can go to be safe if they killed somebody unintentionally.
Yeah.
Now, if they meant to, that's a different story.
Yeah.
And these three cities are in a place that we see called the Transjordan, which really means the other side of the Jordan River. So that's where I think three of the 12 tribes decided that they were going to stay.
Yeah.
On that side. And that's where these three cities would have been located.
Yeah. So today that is modern day Jordan, right? So Jordan and Israel, they border each other along the Jordan River.
Yeah.
So yeah, modern day central Jordan. Yeah.
We get into chapter 5, we find the Ten Commandments again. These are a little different than we find in Exodus, but materially they're the same.
Yeah, not really much difference. Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, the first four are all about God. He's to be their only God, no idols, you know, don't misuse his name, observe his day of rest. And then the other six commandments are between the Israelites and really dealing with respect, how to respect one another, how to live as a nation with one another.
Yeah.
So the obvious questions here is, everybody knows the Ten Commandments. Everybody talks about the Ten Commandments. As Christians, are we required to follow the Ten Commandments?
Not at all. Not at all. We can do anything we want. No, because the whole Mosaic law stands and falls together. We don't get to pick right. and choose, well, I'll obey this law or this law, you know, whatever. That law code was given to Israel as a nation, both for their religious and their civil law, right? Not everything in the law is a religious thing. So that was their civil law. I've never been under that law. Right. I mean, not as a civil thing, not as a religious thing. The Apostle Paul said that was nailed to the cross. Jesus fulfilled it. The only way that we can even fulfill any of the requirements of being holy, like you, like God is holy, you know, that sort of thing, is through Jesus anyway.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is that 9 of the 10 are repeated in the New Testament right. in some fashion, right?
Because these are all good ideas.
Yeah, because right. God's character doesn't change, right? God never changes. And so, you know, when he says, don't misuse my name, or, you know, no other gods, you know, beside me, well, that doesn't change with Christians, you know, because God doesn't change. So the only one that is not required for us as Christians, not because they're in the Ten Commandments, but because they're repeated in the New Testament, is the Sabbath. There is no Sabbath law, Sabbath rule for Christians. There's a Sabbath principle, but as far as a fixed day or a whatever,
right?
That's not repeated.
Okay. So we're also going to see that God's going to add many other laws to this. But what's kind of cool is each of those laws can fit under these 10. as a general principle.
They're almost like categories,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, respect each other's lives. You know, it says do not murder, but it's really, you know, respect each other's lives. Well, how do you respect each other's lives? Well, here's a whole bunch of rules or laws right. that fit under that. Because
we need right? to have laws,
right? Yeah, right.
Well, can I hit him? Can I?
There's a city of refuge. It's, you know, accidental manslaughter, you know. I love the illustration. I mean, Moses is like, so, all right. So what categorizes, what if I accidentally kill somebody? How, you know, how do I know? He's like, okay. So let's say you're in the forest chopping a tree down and the axe head flies off and kills yeah. somebody. That would qualify as you didn't mean to.
Right.
It's like very practical.
Right. Right. And even, but then if you harbored hatred towards that person.
Yeah.
Now we're in a different area.
Now we're in a different, because yeah. murder is not about the act. Murder is right. about the, which yeah. interestingly, Jesus said something about that. If you hate your brother, you've already murdered him in your heart. Yeah. So we can see that even going back and how God is working with Israel.
Right. All right, so in chapter 6, Moses tells the reader, which is the nation of Israel, over and over again to pay attention to the Lord and make sure that you follow his rules. And he has a reason, right? He saw the first round of the Israelites, yeah, right. and they failed and died. And now he's also failed, too. So yeah. he sees it as his job, and the last thing that he can really do is to get this nation over the end line, which is get them into the promised land.
Yeah.
So he wants to do it the best he can.
Yeah. Yep.
In verse 4 here, there's something called the Shema.
It's Shema.
Shema.
Shema. Yeah.
The mantra of Orthodox Jews.
Yeah. Yeah. The first word in Hebrew, there's only actually 6 words in Hebrew. The first word is Shema. It's an imperative. It's a command. And it means listen. So most of the translations translate here. But listen, pay attention, listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, or the Lord our God is one Lord.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's only 6 words. It's repeated. It's a prayer. It's repeated right. as a prayer.
Something that is repeated.
It's repeated. Over and over again. So if you were to ever go to synagogue or temple or a Jewish Orthodox Jewish gathering, you would hear them say Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And it just as almost as a prayer. Yeah.
Okay. And then followed by that is a verse that Jesus actually quotes as the greatest commandment.
Yeah.
You must love the Lord your God with your whole mind, your whole being, and all your strength.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep.
Moses says these have to be taught to the children and grandchildren continually.
Yeah,
which I think is pretty cool. Right? It's not a one and done. It's a life thing.
Yeah, right. And what I mean, the term that we would use today is discipleship. Right? You know, just that ongoing teaching and training. And again, this is not like a law code that is, you know, we're under, but I mean, it's a principle, right?
Right.
I mean, it would be foolish to not do it. And he talks about when you're lying down, when you're walking along the road, you know, put them up on, you know, put sayings up on your walls in the house, you know, just constantly keep it in front of your families.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, today playing the music and, you know, whatever, just in your homes is it's a...
Moses reminds the Jews that they're going into a populated land. And this land was given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the land comes furnished, which it didn't hit me, right? These are fine cities that they didn't build.
Yep.
These are houses filled with items that Israel didn't buy. These are cisterns that they didn't dig. These are vineyards that they didn't plant and olive groves that they didn't plant, but God is giving it to them.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow, that is... I never hit that part before.
Well, part of it is that the stories that we remember, Jericho, right? Completely destroyed, right? They're not taking that one over, you know. So the big war stories are the ones that we think of. It's like, but
the other ones, people left.
Yeah, they left. And that's actually how God intended it. There were only 7, we call them strongholds, 7 strongholds that Joshua was supposed to destroy because they were under God's divine curse. Everyone else was meant to evacuate, and this is that reminder that you know, God did not intend for Israel to come in and just start wiping people out. Very select groups needed to be executed, basically. Right. And Israel was God's executioners. Execution. Yeah, they're his judgment on those peoples. Yeah.
Yeah. Also talks in here a lot, you know, reminds them, you have a God. Do not go after other gods or you're going to see his jealous anger.
Yeah.
And then Moses also continues with, don't test God. And he pleads again to follow his commandments. Yeah. I mean, you're going to see this over and over again.
Yeah.
And then the last part of chapter 6 actually starts with a question. Hey, when your children ask later on, what are the stipulations, the statutes, the ordinances that a Lord our God commands you? My child has never asked that of me.
Obviously.
So the rest of chapter 6 is basically, you know, again, a recap or a history lesson.
Yeah.
Right? We started in Egypt, the Pharaoh. We were Pharaoh's slave. God brought us out in a powerful way. Lord commands us to obey all the statutes. So things may always go well with us. And we will be innocent if we keep his commandments.
It's actually not a bad thing. So many people don't know their family history, don't know their ethnicity background or anything. It's one of the problems of the a melting pot concept of the United States is that you sort of lose some of that family identity, right? Amish, you know, keep that identity. The Jewish people often, they keep that identity. They tell the same stories. They remember where they came from. And that's intentional. That's into God wants them to do that from a national standpoint.
Right. And that's actually where we end this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff in here. Right. Sort of nice, easy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Deuteronomy. Yeah.
We'll start getting into it, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff, though. A lot of good reminders for us. Again, we're not under these laws unless they're repeated again in the New Testament. But just reminds us of who God is, his character. And some good reminders for us, and maybe even just some wisdom, maybe some things you read and you think, you know, that's probably a pretty good idea, you know, and you can build it into your own spiritual life, spiritual growth. So hopefully you find some of those. If you find this helpful, make sure that you subscribe and follow, share it with others who you think would find it helpful as well. And we'll pick up here next week in Deuteronomy chapter 7.